WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Some of Peter Cooper's comic books might give you the idea that he's obsessed with sex, but others would lead you to conclude his passion is great literature. Cooper's new comic, Stripped, is an autobiographical work largely about his coming-of-age sexual insecurities. In the opening illustration, he's alone and lonely, gazing at the New York skyline from his window, thinking, "I wonder how many people are having sex right now." Another new book of his, Give It Up, illustrates the short stories of Franz Kafka. Cooper has also done comics about his travels around the world, including pictures of some of the more problematic toilets he confronted. In 1993, he launched the New York Times' first cartoon strip. His new autobiographical comic, Stripped, begins with the story of how long it took him to lose his virginity. He writes about how uncomfortable he was around women, but he says, "I did have one thing going for me, the gift of gab." And there's a picture of him with long hair and a headband back in the 60s, trying to impress women with his pithy insights. I asked Cooper to read a bit of his character blathering on.
And the thing about comics that makes them so great is their ability to create whole worlds on paper and the energy and excitement that they visually stir. I'm publishing, and I intend to do other books like that in the future. Say, is that a new dress? That's really nice. You look good in red, but blue is my favorite color. Have you seen the movie Soylent Green? I really think it captured a very likely scenario of our horrible future, very much like the Planet of the Apes, which also happened to star Charlton Heston, who was in Ben-Hur. I saw that one when I was in Israel when I lived there in 1969. My father was on sabbatical, and my whole family lived there, and we moved there that year, and first I had trouble learning Hebrew, but pretty soon I could speak it better than anyone in my family, and blah, 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 blah. And another thing,
I love that.
Which was pretty accurate to that motor mouth kind of.
Is that how you go on and on and on?
That jump from subject to subject.
Now, one thing that you can do, for instance, in a cartoon, like in this long monologue that you're doing here, you're just going on so much that the words kind of go out of the frame, mm-hmm. you know, and how can I put this? A lot of words are truncated because the sentence is going on, but the frame has ended.
Mm-hmm. It's so like you only wallpaper.
Exactly. So you only have like a fraction of the actual word there.
Well, that's sort of the joy of a medium like comics is that, you know, in a book, it would be much harder to show that, you know, you'd have to describe it in a different way. And in comics, the words themselves can be as visual as the drawings. And so you can take advantage of a word balloon having a shape to it, which will indicate, you know, how the mood somebody's in. I mean, the word balloon itself can drip or sweat or be excited, and the type can get larger or smaller depending on, you know, the reaction of the characters. And, there's so many different aspects to it. And, you know, sometimes I'll reverse the type so it's white on black, which indicates somebody's in a darker mood or just using it as a graphic element on the page.
I'd like you to describe the cover illustration of your new comic, your new autobiographical comic, Stripped.
It's a cross-section of my brain with surrounding a center. There's workaholism, happiness, relaxation, originality, and snappy comments, which are a very small portion. Additional self-flagellation and browbeating, which hangs over my eye. Fear of global destruction, hatred of most politicians. They're fairly large. She said, you said, if only I, ... All the various things that I have running through my head at any time. My desire to be somewhere else or somebody else. The need to be liked or loved. Unattainable wishes. Yes, I can. No, I can't. A need for a stiff drink or drugs. Consistency, inconsistency, various faux pas, boners, idiotic remarks constantly replayed, and this is all floating around the universe of sex in the middle, which dominates all those other thoughts.
In this cover illustration, the brain is, of course, in a head, mm-hmm. and the face is this person is just like gritting his teeth.
Well, it's sort of a cutaway of the thinker there as I ponder all these many things that are, you know, circulating around.
It seems to me you're gritting your teeth as you ponder.
Yeah, there's a lot of that, too.
A lot of tension.
Yeah, there would be nail-biting if it was an animated film.
So does sex dominate your brain?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say. I think I read something about that, you know, men think about sex every 11 seconds or every 27 seconds or or something like that. And there was some, you know, part of one of those sex surveys that talked about how, you know, how often people think about sex. And I'm probably in the 27-second category.
And so are you the kind of person who's always mentally unstripping people when you meet and wonder what they'd look like naked?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
Does that bother you, or do you think, well, everybody else is doing that anyways?
Well, I usually figure that most of the things that I consider to be my greatest abnormalities and the things that I'm, you know, most alone on doing are the things that everybody else does too. And it's just that we don't talk about it always, or, you know, we pretend that we don't.
What was it like for you the first time you did a comic about your sexual feelings or about sexuality?
Very, very cathartic, and very also hard to do. I mean, I sort of held off from doing them for a long time because I wanted to do it in a way that wasn't going to be, you know, straight out sexist. I mean, a lot of the underground comics I read growing up that dealt with sexuality a lot of times ended up being fairly sexist, or, you know, I wanted to be able to have more to say than just my tongue hangs out and I drool a lot every time a woman passes by. And so I spent a lot of time thinking about the stories I was going to do, and I looked back. I had kept a diary for years. I mean, I have and do. And I looked back at some of my old diaries, and it was really a combination of a, you know, difficult to sort of relive those and also really funny because in doing the stories, I was looking for the humor in it as well. And when I draw something and look at it, I just think, wow, it was like that. And it, you know, it's sort of hilarious. And so it was a good, it probably saved me a lot of money on psychotherapy.
One of the things I really love about autobiographical comics is how the artist can subjectively draw themselves and draw themselves, not necessarily how they look, but how they feel they mm-hmm. look. So maybe you could describe for us a little bit the different ways you've drawn yourself in the autobiographical comics, depending on how you're feeling about yourself in that situation.
Yeah, well, I took great joy in drawing myself in all sorts of silly predicaments and with different expressions, including converting into a worm, where I became the trademark character Worm Boy when I was in a down state, or Bunny Boy, that's also trademarked, when I get nervous. And that would come in the form sometimes of, let's say, when a very nice girl was trying to get me past this particular point, the ears would start growing as I got nervous, my heart's beating fast, and I want to get out of there. And these bunny rabbit ears start to appear, and they start to ease their way up. And then if I went over the line, I became a full-fledged bunny. But otherwise, I might be able to pull the ears back down, or next thing I know, I'm a worm again. There was, you know, I also just played on a lot of the different cartoon conventions and things that I'm familiar with from animation and different things, so that I might, you know, show, say, my lust as a character who's goading me on, saying, you know, say yes, go on, do it, and or my fear as another character, and they're dueling it out for, you know, trying to win the race of losing my virginity. So there's just a lot. There's a lot of anthropomorphizing that was possible for me to do with it, and because of its comics, it was, you know, I just, however I wanted to draw it, I just kept mostly the consistency and maybe the expression on my face. But besides that, you know, a worm, a rabbit, whatever, they're all me.
Comic book artist Peter Cooper is my guest. We'll be back after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is comic book artist Peter Cooper. His latest books are an autobiographical work about his sexual anxieties called Stripped and an illustrated collection of Franz Kafka short stories. When you started drawing autobiographical comics with with a sexual angle, did you wonder, what will my parents think of these?
Yes, I did. I didn't send it to them right away. Actually, there were certain issues I sort of held off from sending them. But when it was all said and done, they've seen them all, and I've gotten over that. I mean, there's an initial...
But have they gotten over it?
Probably not. No, they seem to have gotten over it more than I have. But no, they're. I have pretty liberal parents, and they're pretty easygoing about this kind of thing. And they knew I was reading undergrounds at one point, although my mother did throw out a heap of them when she actually sat down and read one of them. But For the most part, they're pretty open-minded people, so that probably helped me along in ending up doing some of this stuff. But what I found sort of interesting in doing sexual stories in comics was I spent a lot of time trying to do more polemical, political pieces for on all sorts of subjects, but mostly dealing with global disaster and fear of nuclear destruction and things like that. And be more, try and make a point and all that. And what I found was when I started dealing with sexual topics in my work, that actually is the maybe one of the more political things I could do. My own, just talking about my own personal experiences, because the so much of that stuff is like repressed and covered up, and not talking about them is a very American way, and that. So that it's very threatening, I think, to talk about experiences in a very plain, open, honest way, and including all the embarrassing moments and talking about masturbating or whatever, the work that I've done like that has gotten people more riled than anything I did with a political intent that was, I was trying to geared towards getting people, to think about things, and that I think that sort of built into it to talking about sex openly a lot is a lot of politics.
Has any of your work ever been the subject of obscenity controversy, or have there been any attempts to censor your books, keep them out of bookstores or libraries?
One experience I had was I did a piece for Details magazine, and it was called Out of Body Experience, and it was it's in Stripped, and it was a color piece I did where a couple is having sex and their thought balloons are completely separate from the experience. And it's not wildly graphic by any means, and it just shows, in one balloon, one of them's thinking about, a donut, and the other one's thinking about a pickle, and one of them's thinking about a horn, and the other one's thinking about a racing car while they're having this, interaction. And it ends with after they've achieved orgasm, the guy is thinking about winning a trophy for love, and the woman is thinking about what's on TV that night. And that apparently got, enough trouble for the magazine that they lost distribution in the South and had advertisers, up in arms. And the next piece I'd done from, they actually pulled from the presses. But which, that I was overjoyed. I mean, I thought that, it's all this time of trying to be effective with my art in political terms, and finally, just by doing something that I thought was fairly innocuous, I end up having that impact.
So where are your comics sold?
They're usually at the back of a comic shop and buried behind some zine or now, fortunately, as I'm getting into doing more. This Kafka book that I just had published is hardback, and that's going to start getting into bookstores. And that's where I'm hoping, in general, I'm hoping to see my work go and work like that, because I'm really working for an adult audience, and I'm working for peers, and I want, I don't expect them to go into a comic shop. I don't like going into a comic shop.
Why not?
It's a very scary environment. You have costumed, muscled, guys jumping out at you as you open the door, and that it's very hard to find the kinds of things that a non-15-year-old male would like, and that they're it's fairly buried, and you have to sort of find your way through it. What I'm hoping for is to get over the hurdle of this perception of comics as being for children only, and or being one single form. So, for example, I know in a lot of bookstores they have a graphic novel section, and this Kafka book is put in right next to the Batman graphic novel, and a lot of other things. It's very incongruous. It should be in the Kafka section of the store, and that I'd like to think that my autobiographical comics would be under autobiography, and that to try to have them slotted not all as humor or as a group, one thing. And after years and years, decades of trying to fight through that, It's still a problem, and that whole perception is still, you know, rampant.
In your work as a cartoonist, do you feel like you've drawn on conventions of movies?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, a big influence on my work is movies by, say, Hitchcock. A lot of times when I'm drawing the comic, I'm thinking of it in terms of, you know, camera position and, you know, zoom, dolly, and, you know, this mm-hmm. angle, bird's eye view, worm eye view, particularly in some of those autobio pieces, it's the worm's eye view. that, you know, that's a lot of how the each panel is done, is that, you know, I'm thinking about it in, you know, sort of staging that way, and that, you know, I'm sort of directing the comic and try also to make the make it function in sort of an animation, you know, so that from one panel to the next your eye flows along and that you know where to look and that your eye won't wander around the page. And so I really believe that comics are the hardest art form because of the juggle of all the different things that you have to have going on in order to make it work. I mean, it's lettering and drawing and, you know, the writing and all mixed together and all on, you know, on the page, and a person could look at any part of the page. And so it's the job of the comic artist to make it, you know, to lead the reader through it in a very, you know, a set order.
Well, Peter Cooper, I want to thank you a lot for talking with us.
Thank you.
Peter Cooper's new comic books are Stripped and Kafka, Give It Up, and Other Short Stories. This is Fresh Air.